Scott, why don't you tell us what's going on today?
Good morning. Welcome to Amherst Baptist. Today is a kind of a special service. It's our Thanksgiving service, and so we want to praise Him as we think about holding on to Him even through the storm. Some of you are holding on to Him through great blessing, and we want to hear testimonies of all of that. We've got a few folks lined up, I'll say, to share some testimonies, but if you have something that you want to share, we'll try and have an opportunity for that as well. So I want to welcome you here. If you're a guest with us this morning, in the pew ahead of you, there's a card that says, let us get to know you. If you give us some information, we'd love to know who you are and be able to get in touch with you just to answer any questions you might have. And on the back side of that, there's an opportunity for you to share prayer concerns that we might pray with you about what's going on in your life, whether it's that praise of the great blessing or whether that's a concern of the storm that you're going through. I see Bruce McNutt is here. Elaine's home and doing well. Yay!
Amen. Amen.
John Corcoran, who's half the man he used to be, is with us today. Good to see you, John. Where's Margie? Margie's here somewhere, right up here. Margie's back with her hip replacement, and she's doing well. So as we share today, I want you to just enjoy the time together of hearing what God is doing in each of our lives. You may be seated, actually. This morning we've got a couple testimonies. We've got videos from Jamestown, from Kansas City, and from Uganda. Hopefully all our technology will work well for those things. But first we have a testimony from Ann Baker. Ann, if you'd come on up, I'm going to let you use this microphone.
You know, I would have never, ever found out about that particular scripture if I was reading it all by myself. And it's just been great. I think we might have missed one or two times in the 3 years that has been started, and that's because we were away. But I want to encourage you, if you have not done small groups, to just pray about it and see if that's something that God would have you to do. We see answer to prayer. We pray for each other. We among fellowship and things like that. But it's been such an encouragement. And the one thing that I got from small groups, it has made me have a more hunger for the word, wanting to get and learn more about it, which I don't think I would have done that on my own. So that's all I wanted to say.
Great. Thanks, Ann. Thank you. I mentioned a video from Jamestown. We are supporting a church plant in Jamestown headed up by Edwin and Hannah Attaway. Not last week, but the week before, they had a special service where they baptized three people in a hotel pool. And so we have a video of that. The audio is not so great. The video is even not all that great, but this is an opportunity to participate with Edwin in the ministry going on in Jamestown. There were actually three people baptized, all over the age of 60, all who just received Christ in these past few months. And in fact, there have been five in the past 5 months who have come to Christ and been baptized through the ministry of Jamestown.
Amen. So we had an interesting preamble to our Thanksgiving this year. We were out last Sunday with another couple from church at Anderson's with Jack and Rosie, and middle of our meal, we got a phone call. Our daughter and our son-in-law and their two kids had left that morning to go to Huntsville, Alabama, to be with his family for the Thanksgiving holiday. And after about 4 hours on the road, just outside of Cleveland, we get this call, and it's our daughter, and she's frantic. She's on the side of the road. Their car started on fire. They were driving along. Danny was in the left-hand lane. They lost power. There was a lot of traffic, and it was a miracle that they even got into the right-hand lane and over to the side of the road. And he got out of the car to see what was happening, and he frantically got back in and said, get the kids out of the car, get the kids out of the car, the car's on fire. So they got the kids out of the car, you know, my poor little granddaughter, no shoes, no coat, no nothing. They're on the side of the road. Danny gave them, he's in his shorts and a t-shirt because he gave them his coat, and they're wondering what to do. They're by the side of the road. This car stops, out jumps this guy, grabs his coat, crawls underneath the car where the fire is, and puts the fire out with his coat. Gets back in the car and drives away. And you know, we hear stories about angels unaware, and I'm wondering, if this is one of those instances. But interestingly enough, there were like three other people who stopped, and as soon as they stopped, out came their phones and they were taking video of the whole thing while my kids are standing there on the side of the road shivering in the cold. But and anyway, God bless them, it worked out. You know, they got someone called 911 and an ambulance came. They got an ambulance and they stayed there until a state trooper came and took them to a motel in Seville, Ohio. I'm sure they're going to remember that for the rest of their lives. They still don't know what the extent of the damage is with the car because they took it to a little town and they have a Hummer and they don't know how to service them. So they're still waiting to hear what the damage is. But God was working in a marvelous way that day that allowed them to get to the side of the road, get out of the car, and a stranger came and put the fire out for them. All their belongings and everything were in the car, so they didn't lose any of that. So God was gracious and merciful.
Amen. 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 Let's take a minute to pray. Lord God, we thank you for your great grace, your power at work in our lives. I thank you for Anne's testimony of what you do among us when we spend time together in your word, for your care for Danny and Courtney and their kids, watching over them even with a stranger, unidentified. Lord, we thank you for bringing him to that point, at that point, that he might serve. And we pray that you might bless him and might bring him to know you through all of that, if he doesn't already. Lord, we pray for these folks that are here for the first time in a while or who represent those who have been in surgery or illness. And we thank you that you've brought them through those things and we're seeing healing. We pray for continued healing, the demonstration of your power in our lives, in our bodies, in our families, and among us as a church family, Lord. May you knit us together in the precious name of Jesus Christ for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And as we continue to worship today, we got word from our Burmese church this past week as well. They have also seen 5 baptized in this past couple weeks, and they continue to add to their number. And I'm not sure if you're continuing to be aware and praying for our Burmese brothers and sisters. This is a church plant that we have assisted in over these last 3 to 5 years. And we actually we sent them money to build a church, recall that perhaps? They have built a church and they've filled it up now. And they are church planting. So God is at work through the money that you give, through your tithes and offerings, through your special gifts that you give. That, of course, is our connection through Marty Joseph, and he pastors over them from a long distance away, of course, but they're doing well. Let's stand and sing praise and worship to our God.
As we were planning this morning's service, I had asked Eric if he was organizing who was giving testimonies, and he sent me a text, which he said he had 4 to 5 testimonies, but what his phone picked up was we had 45. And so we were expecting to really be able to, you know, pack it in this morning. We do have some more testimonies. Madeline, if you'd come, we're going to hear from Madeline here in a minute.
Oh, I don't know where to start. There's so many blessings, so many praises in my life since I was 17 years old. But I'm going to skip to something that's been in my heart for a long time. And I wanted to share it, but I didn't know where and who and how. Told my family. And it's about tithing. And a long time ago, when my children were all 3 little girls, we lived in a mobile home in Wales Center. My husband didn't have a job at that time. We had no money coming in. And the church we were going to did something different, handed out some little cards, and we could throw them away or we could do whatever the Lord laid on our heart. And it was, how much per week do you believe God would have you give? As tithe or whatever. And we had no money. We had a little bit of savings that was slowly eking out. And my husband really wasn't a prayer or much of a believer. He always said, you pray because you get answers, I don't. That's what he would say. So I said, well, we can put 0, but I want a tithe. And he said, well, we don't have anything. I said, well, can I pray and ask God what he would want us to put on this card? And he said, sure, go ahead. So I did. I said, Lord, whatever comes in this week, 10% of that is what I'm going to put on the card. And we didn't expect anything to come in that week. Honestly, nothing. If a dollar came in, I'd have to put 10 cents. That would be embarrassing. Anyway, the week went on and money came in. My brain is fuzzy remembering everything, but something was something that was owed a long time ago that someone just decided they were going to give it back or whatever. We got $700 that week. This is in 1970s, back when money was much lower than it is now. $700 came in by Sunday, I said. And he said, well, we can't put $70 a week on there. And I said, well, that's what God provided. I said, what else can we do? He said, well, you're the one that prayed. I said, yes, and I believe God has a reason for this. We're going to put $70 a week on there. We handed it in. I could go on, but anyway, we got a call or a visit, I don't remember, from the one who managed the money at the church and said, did you misunderstand? No, and I told him the story. And nobody knew what to do with it because we had no money coming next week. There was nothing to put in. So what do you do with that? I believe God gave that to me as sure as I'm standing here right now. Honestly, I didn't understand, but I believed it was God. Now, can I give a little parenthesis? When God told Abraham and Sarah they would have a son, I bet Sarah got her knitting needles out and started knitting baby clothes right away. And Abraham was probably out getting good wood to make a nice little cradle for this baby that's coming. Okay, it was a promise. It was an agreement. It was a covenant. And no baby came. Well, what do? You start tearing out the little sweater that was being knitted? Do you burn the wood? Or do you drag it with you? What do you do with it? What do you do when nothing happens, when God told you something? Well, you know the rest of the story about Abraham and Sarah. Eventually, in God's time, it came. Well, end of parentheses, on with my story. Life went on, kids grew up, husband left, divorce came, and to make a very long story with a lot of miracles and things in between, I ended up with alimony, a job at UB, all miraculous stories, really miraculous. If I had time, if I had that 45 minutes, I could tell you all about it. But with alimony, job at UB, and then when I turned 62, I started taking my IRA minimum distribution, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And I added it all up when it all came together, when the dust settled, and $70 went in every week. Amen. And I just almost shook with, I could identify with Abraham and Sarah. Who would know that? Right. Who would have thought? And there I was giving during that time in my life. I was already divorced. I had nothing when we were divorced. We sold a house and I put some away. Anyway, so much to say. To trust God when if you pray and ask and you believe him, you believe you've asked, you put out a fleece, whatever. I don't just do that willy-nilly, but every now and then it's all I can do because I didn't know what else to do. And I think of when we put money in the offering plate or in the box back there when we were doing that for a while. If I'm not here for 2 or 3 weeks, if you're not here for 2 or 3 weeks, you're on vacation and nothing goes in, oh well, out of sight, out of mind. Is that true? Out of sight, out of mind? We don't give? Maybe we'll catch up later. Can we do that with our mortgage payment or our car payment or our grocery bill? No. You need to pay it. And if it's something you've promised God and something God put in your heart, be faithful, even if you don't see where it's going to come from. I would go on, but that's it for now.
Amen. Thank you, Madeline. Thank you. So Madeline shared, ask God what he'd have you do, then do that. And lately, some of us have been challenged. Eric introduced us to a friend of his, a former Compassion Child, Robert Mutabazi from Uganda. And so some of us were challenged by God to give. And over the past several months, do you know the total? I think it's pushing $2,000 has come from our congregation to Robert. And so this is a testimony from Robert.
Everyone, praise the Lord, church. My name is Robert Mutabazi. I'm from Kampala, Uganda. I have a testimony. 2 years ago, I looked terrible. I looked very bad. I was sick. I was so slim. But through the family of Amherst Baptist Church, God has been able to use you guys to provide. You have supported me financially. Your finances have helped me grow my business. Your finances have helped me get food on the table for my children. Your finances have supported me. I don't know what to say. Sometimes I get lost in words. I've known Pastor Eric for many years, from 1993 when I was a little kid. But the kind of love he has always showed me and the entire family of Amherst, I cannot comment on it. The Lord has been so gracious. Thank you so much, church. You have been there for me. You have seen me grow spiritually, numerically. I've been able to preach again. I had left pulpit ministry, but in the last 3 weeks I've been preaching in church, and they called me pastor. And I expect to get more invitations to preach the word of God. I had lost hope. I had given up on life, but the Lord has been so good. Through Eric, thank you so much. May God bless you. May God bless you so much.
Touches my heart. It was actually earlier than 93 that we started corresponding with each other. He was a little tiny boy, and that was another one of those things. What does a high school kid have any money? I had nothing, right? You know, but we were called. We're called to do things, and who would have known 30 something years later? 30 years, is it possible? Good grief. And you are helping to support. I don't know if you caught that, but Robert for a long time had a public ministry where he was working in church, and he fell on these difficult times, and actually through that sin got into his life, and he got carried away a bit, but over these last several years he has really sought after God, and he is back in the pulpit. Let's take a moment today because he's preaching today. Can we pray for our brother in Uganda, Africa? I know he's probably technically done, but let's just pray the Lord's blessing upon him. Father God, this day, we're so grateful for the way that you take the little stuff that we give, and you magnify that. You make it to expand and to touch your kingdom, to grow your kingdom, oh God, across the seas, right here in our own neighborhoods. Church planting there in Jamestown and Burma and other places, Lord God, the way that you have used this church, that is not of us. That is by your Spirit and your Spirit alone. We thank you, Lord. Let's sing this together. You can stay seated.
You may be seated again. John Stratiff, if you'd make your way up here, and also Brian Toffelmeyer and Jeff Friedman. Surprise. We've been doing a thing called Mighty Men for over a year And I've been, as Madeline said, I've been waiting for a time to do this, and I just haven't found it. This is actually wrapping up Mighty Men from last June, when several of us ran in a 5K together. Jeff and Brian actually finished theirs. And Jason. But the Mighty Men thing was 8 weeks where you set your own goals, and these two made it through those 8 weeks without what we call striking out. And so this is just a little certificate saying you made it.
Thank you.
And a little gift to go with it so you can remember being men of God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. John, come on. Some of you don't know John. John has been with us for
3 years.
Wow. Deanna and Jacob are back here, I believe. There they are. Hi. So John's going to share a brief testimony and let us know what's going on in his life, how God's at work.
Okay, so I was in DNA just sitting there minding my own business, having my coffee and donut. And I opened my big mouth and said what God had done in my life. So that's why I'm here right now. It was over 3 years ago, and beyond that, about 10 years ago, my life started to become a mess. I followed Jesus Christ my whole life, but then I backslid. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And I went astray, and I caused my own affliction. Went through a divorce, went through the worst time of my life. I thought the military was the worst time of my life, but that didn't compare to this. I am thankful to God for my two kids, who got me through some of the worst times of my life. I started coming to this church about 3 years ago, and right away, I was put under people's wings. I had people just coming up to me, asking me all about myself, what was going on. And I was told to check out DNA, so I went to DNA, and I was an absolute mess. I had dug such a hole, I couldn't even see the light. So I kept going to DNA, and times when I didn't go to DNA or didn't come to church, Scott would text me or somebody would call me up and ask me what's going on. And little by little, I knew God was going to get me out of this hole that I couldn't see the light. But God reached down and pulled me out of that huge pit that I had dug. When I was going through the military, I was a medic in the military, and I absolutely hated it. I couldn't stand it. But I couldn't see back then what God was doing. I had to find my own way, my own health insurance, my own car insurance, a place to live. And through the military, through God's working, I got a place to live. I've got my health care through the military, and I've got my own car insurance. And because I'm a military vet, I get a discount. But I just want to thank God, and I want to thank this church, because without this church, I don't think I'd be anywhere. Right now, I think I'd be still digging my hole. I want to thank each and every one of you. And thank you, Scott, Pastor Eric. Thank you for the men DNA group. Without them, listening to me complain and all my problems, their prayers. I thank the deacons. I thank the elders who, when I needed them, they were there. Thank each and every one of you for listening to me today. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, John. If you find yourself in a pit, first step, quit digging and start finding help to get out of that. In that last song, we said, for our inheritance, give us the lost. That God would bless us with the opportunity to share his grace, his kingdom, his love, with those around the world who have never heard. And so this next video testimony we have from Kansas City, Rachel Curtin, she's going to share with us an opportunity she has with the International Mission Board. It's called the Hands-On Program. So she's going to tell us a little bit about that. There is out in the lobby a letter for you out on the station underneath the TV that explains a little bit more, but give a listen to what Rachel has to say about what God's been doing in her life.
Good morning, Amherst Baptist. I am super excited to be with you this morning to share with you the result of how God has been working in my life over the past couple months. Beginning in January 2018, I will be spending 6 months in East Asia with the International Mission Board's hands-on program. I'll get to work alongside missionaries as they disciple new believers and take the gospel of Jesus to people who have never heard his name. Will you participate with me as I go? Three specific ways I want to challenge you. One, go yourselves. Right there in Buffalo, Amherst Baptist is involved in ministering specifically to people of East and South Asia. Jump right on in. Also, consider going to another country yourself. There are people who have yet to hear and not enough of us going to tell. Two, pray. Every single one of us is called to be devoted to this most important work of prayer. The Week of Prayer for International Missions is December 3rd through 10th. You can pick up a prayer guide in the lobby or visit the IMB website to learn more. Also, as I go to East Asia, will you pray with and for me? Please sign up in the lobby to receive updates about how you can support me in prayer as I go. Third, give. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering supports people who have given their lives to taking the gospel to the nations, like our very own Chad and Krista Helmer. Please give generously so they can continue to do the work that God has called them to. Also, as I go to East Asia, will you give to send me? In the lobby, you'll find a letter with more details than what I can share in a short little video about how you can go, pray, and give to global missions and specifically to this next adventure that the Lord has called me to. I love you all. I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks and hearing about what God has been doing in your lives as you walk in obedience to his word.
So anybody who knows Rachel, you can see, I mean, she is stoked up. She has been in seminary these last couple years, and she has been learning in her own style, her own pace, her own things. If you know Rachel, you know that's what she does. And she has sought the face of God. And I think Scott and I would both agree with this, that we know of very few people, much less young people, who are seeking the face of God the way that Rachel is.
Amen.
And we really believe that she has heard from the Lord and that she is going where God would take her to. And so let's even stop right now. Let's be praying for Rachel to encourage her today and then just to guide her from this point forward, to support her. Father God, we give you our Rachel. She has been here a part of us. She grew up here. She is just one of us. And Lord God, you have called her, so we ask that you would supply her with everything that she needs, including the money, including the prayer backing, including the mindset and the wisdom and the tools to do the job that she is called to. Father God, we pray that we would become a church that knows how to proclaim your great name now and throughout our days. We pray this in your name and by your power. Amen.
What a great day to share testimony of what God has done in our lives and in amongst our family. Glad to have you all with us today as we celebrate our gracious and loving God. His faithfulness is great and his love endures forever. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together as a family this morning, to hear one another's stories, to encourage one another, to be encouraged to be involved in small groups and DNA and mighty men and daughters of the King. Lord, may we be challenged to grow in those areas. Lord, as we return a portion of what you've given us in trust, knowing that you will meet our needs because you've promised to do so, we give this offering to you, ask that you would multiply it, that you would use it for your kingdom and your glory. And Lord, we would ask your favor that we might see a glimpse of what you're doing, that we would be encouraged to participate even more in your kingdom, to go boldly, to desire for our inheritance, the lost. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Edwin and with Robert and with Rachel in each of their particular ministries, that you might multiply their work and bless them. Show your favor, Lord. Show your power. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as we hear these testimonies, be sure to recognize that it's for God to get the glory for this. We're not trying to see who got the greater blessing or who was in the deeper hole or anything like that, but to see that God loves us so much, that he has been involved in our lives individually. Many of you, maybe 45 of you, had a testimony that didn't get a chance to share this morning. So I'd encourage you to go to DNA this morning. Perhaps there's an opportunity in that smaller group, a little more intimate group, to be able to share what God has been doing in your life, that you might, again, encourage one another. This idea of mutual edification. Encourage and strengthen one another. Support one another in that. Even those who go through the greatest trials are still carried through them because God is faithful. Not because of their faithfulness, but because of his. Now, I considered reading an update to you this morning. For those of you who are on the prayer chain, you know that one of my nieces, recently her infant son had fallen off a changing table. She caught his head, but his leg got broken in the process. She went to the hospital, and they, in effect, saw that as a typical child abuse break. And so they challenged her, and the CPS was involved, whatever they call it in Chicago. It's not CPS, but it's something like that. And so for a few days, she was not able to eat or sleep, because this was not just her child, it was the possibility of this one of four children being taken from her. She's also an English teacher, and so her job would have been taken from her, therefore her career, therefore her home, her health insurance, everything was to be gone. And she found in that God's faithfulness. And she cried out to him. She tells in this text that I received, standing in the hospital room, arms raised to God, tears streaming down her face, saying, "I trust you, even if everything is taken." And saying, "You know, I always thought I could say that, but God was there with me." It's easy to say it when we think we're in control, but when we're not, oh, the blessing to be able to stand there and say, "God, you're in control." Since then, the CPS charges have all been dropped summarily. It's like, sorry about that, never mind. So her life is restored, so to speak, in that regard. And in fact, she just announced a couple weeks ago that she's due with her fifth. So you can pray for Lindsay in that. And I said I thought about reading it to you, but I couldn't make it through it. As you can tell, I can't even tell you the story very well. But God is faithful. God is faithful, and my niece is standing firm in her faith, even praising him for what she's been through. Now, I can also say that this is Laura's and my testimony, that God is faithful through some significant disappointments and frustrations and whatever we've been through. God has always been there and faithful to us. But it shouldn't be a surprise to us, should it? It's an expression of who God is, his character, his love for us. There are at least three different times, a couple in Deuteronomy and one in Nehemiah, where it talks about when the Israelites were going through the wilderness. Really, they were being punished at the time, but even through that, God was faithful to care for very practical needs. Do you know that for 40 years, their clothes and their sandals did not wear out, and their feet did not blister? Even in so practical issues. Laura and I have seen such practical care as well. In fact, you may be able to tell from the style, but I'm still wearing clothes I bought over 20 years ago. And these shoes I bought about 15 years ago, at a garage sale for a dollar. God is faithful. Just the smallest things, the most mundane things, God is involved in caring for us as we trust in him. I pray that you have found that. And if you've not found that, I pray that you would seek it. Pursue God in such a way that you see his hand in your life every day. It's just the outworking of God's faithfulness and his promises. Consider Malachi 3:11. "I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine in your field will not fail to produce fruit," says the Lord of hosts. Or the second part of Luke 6:38, "A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured out in your lap." But wait, I've taken those verses out of context a bit, don't you think? Do you know those verses? These particular verses are promises in response to our pursuit of God, in response to our love of God, in response to our obedience. Look again in Malachi 3, the whole passage, and there's much more, obviously. There's just a few verses. Malachi 3, 10 and 11, just two verses. "Bring the full tenth," the tithe, "bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin the produce of your land and your vine and your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I understand there's some discussion about whether tithing is just an Old Testament thing. I personally don't think so. I think it's how God has called us to respond to him. But we know we're supposed to give generously, not under compulsion or out of obligation. But God loves a cheerful giver. These things were written for our learning. So whether it's Old Testament or not, God has called us to participate in what he's doing. And he's promised to bless us when we do. God doesn't change. When we express our faith in him, our trust in him, he responds with blessings. Not always the blessings we might be looking for, not always the blessings we might think we want, but always for his glory and for our good. So look back at Luke 6:38 in its entirety. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So as we consider all these testimonies of God's work in our lives, of God's faithfulness, as we continue to hear of his involvement and his response to our pursuit of him, consider what measure you're using when you care for others. Consider what measure you're using when you pursue God. And then get your lap ready. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your great grace. Again, for this opportunity to be together as a family, we have called upon you to raise your name in glory. We've called upon you to meet our needs, and you've promised to do so as we pursue you. Lord, we thank you that our salvation is not based on our obedience, but is based on your grace, and yet our relationship with you can be deepened as we pursue you with hunger. Lord, give us a passion for you. Help us to give to others, not so that we get back, but to represent you well, to represent your grace, your love, your overabundance of giving. And we thank you that in that, you've promised your favor upon us. I thank you for your favor upon this congregation, the opportunities we've had to support Rachel this summer and Robert over these last several months, the role that we have in Jamestown encouraging Hannah and Edwin, and the work that's going on there. These five new believers, Lord, we thank you that you are at work there. We pray that you would stir that work in us as well, that we would have a hunger for the lost, not just those around the world, not just those in East Asia where Rachel is going, but here in Amherst, in our families. May your name be glorified. May your glory be seen. And may we participate with joy. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We're going to close out with a song. We're going to have a testimony from Karen right here.
I was not confident coming into this morning that I wanted to stand up front and say anything, but I can't neglect praising God for his greatness. It's not a secret that I love the music we sing here. It speaks to my soul, it speaks to my heart, and it glorifies God. We've sung songs this morning with a variety of themes, God's power, God's grace, his wonderful gift to us. One of the songs we sang early on is, I am holding on to you. God never lets go of me. I let go of him occasionally, but I hold on to him, and he has always been there through the darkest storms. One of my favorite songs has become, in the middle of the storm, and God is right there with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Beyond that is God's peace through those storms. The peace of God which passes all understanding that we can't even begin to comprehend will keep our minds and our hearts through Christ Jesus. God has done that for me. My mind is relatively intact. My heart is focused on God, even in the toughest of times. Thank you, Lord.